Hey listeners, my fabulous colleagues Amy Bernstein and Amy Gallo are back with a new season of Women at Work. You know, it's your guide to whatever you're facing at work, from anxiety to Gen AI. Listen to new episodes of Women at Work every Monday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to the HBR IdeaCast from Harvard Business Review. I'm Sarah Green Carmichael. Today, I'm talking with Kimberly D. Elsbach, co-author with Brooke Brown Saraceno and Francis J. Flynn of the new HBR article, Collaborating with Creative Peers. Kim, thank you so much for talking with us today.
No problem.
So before we get into how to work better with our creative peers, I just wanted to start by defining the terms a little bit. How do you define these people? How do you know you're dealing with one of them?
Yeah. So what we were talking about really is people who think of themselves as artists. And it's important that what I don't mean is artistes, sort of a very affected person who works in their basement and never comes out and doesn't want to interact with other humans. But people who take a lot of pride in their unique vision, their unique perspective, and who really like to have some personal control over some of their creative output because it is a reflection of that unique vision. So these people can be designers, they can be writers, they can be scientists, they could be engineers, they can be in a lot of professions, but they have more of a sort of a, what I would say an artistic perspective or orientation towards their creative output.
So it really sounds like it's more about the mental mindset than it really is about the role.
Yeah, we call it their professional identity. Mm. So they see themselves as sort of these creators of unique outputs, and that's an important part of how they view themselves.
So on to working with them and how to work with them a little bit better. It sounds like some of this wisdom that you lay out in the article is a little bit different than what most of us have heard about giving good feedback. So for instance, we might try to be very specific normally and be really concrete in our feedback. And you say, actually, with these people, sometimes you want to give more broad suggestions and kind of be a little bit almost vague. Tell me why that works so much better with these people.
Yeah, we were surprised by that too, because I have done other research on idea giving and taking in collaborative groups. And you're right, lots of times the more specific concrete is better because you can visualize it, you can see how it might impact the project. But with these folks, one of the problems is that they may have, and they admit to this freely, it's sort of a knee-jerk reaction to a very concrete idea because it suggests to them that you know exactly what you want to do and that's going to change their vision. And even though they may be open to your idea, if you present it too specifically, they tend to have this sort of almost knee-jerk response that, wait a minute, red flag, this is a person who wants to take over and do things his or her way. And so if you offer a more broad, what we call inspiration, have you thought about doing it this way? Or have you seen what they're doing over here? Then it gets them thinking about how that might apply to their work without being so threatening to who they are as an artist.
Well, it is funny, too, because I'm thinking so many managers would love to have employees who took ownership of the work more, but here, it's a little bit like when someone really does, then you have to sort of think differently about how to manage them.
Yes, absolutely. That is an interesting dilemma for managers, that you really have to think about, am I working with somebody who's got this sort of artist identity? And I might have to work with them differently than I work with other creative workers.
Mm. One of the other tips that you talked about was really also about kind of the level of almost vulnerability that you need to show, like, hey, I don't have all the answers, taking that kind of attitude. So that actually is also something that I think for a lot of managers would feel uncomfortable. Tell me a little bit about sort of how you've seen that work out.
I think that's another thing, is that a lot of these people have a very specific expertise, if they're designers or if they're engineers or if they're scientists. And one important thing for them is that they're shown respect by their collaborators or their peers. And if you come in sort of acting like you're going to teach them something about their area of expertise, I think that can lead them to think, well, they don't really understand my way of thinking. They don't really know what I'm about, and therefore I'm going to be hesitant to work with them because they don't really get me. So you've got to show some respect and sort of a lot of the people we talked to said, you know, you need to show worthiness to give ideas, and that is that I understand what you're doing, and therefore I'm worthy of making comments on how to improve it, rather than coming and saying, I know everything, and here's what you need to do.
It also seems like some of the people who struggle the most with this relationship are the people in sales or marketing who are often trying to come in and say, oh, could we do this differently? Maybe it would have more commercial appeal. It seems like that is really an area where communication breaks down.
Yeah, and there's a lot of suspicion, again, in general, with folks from advertising and marketing because they are perceived as being driven really by sort of commercial goals or values, which traditionally are seen as in conflict with these sort of artistic values. So it's particularly tough when somebody from marketing comes in, doesn't sort of show any respect or understanding of the artist's ideas, and then, you know, tries to change it. That's going to be a tough relationship.
Mm. Well, and the thing that also really surprised me was that your work has found that when people are really enthusiastic, that can also kind of give the artist a little turn because they sort of are like, wait, why is this person so enthusiastic about my idea?
That's right. Yeah. Again, these are sort of counterintuitive when you think about most types of collaborations. If you want to share an idea or make a suggestion, you know, being enthusiastic about it can show that you care about it, you're passionate about it, you believe in it. But again, for these folks who really feel like they need to own the idea, it can be a threat. It's a signal that you want to take over, that you want to control the idea, and that you're very invested in your idea, not their idea.
Mm. So as people are listening to this, if some of us or some folks are starting to feel like, maybe this describes me, what's some advice you would give to people who might recognize themselves as this artist mindset, and how could we maybe work better with others around us?
Well, there's several things you could do. You know, one is just to put yourself into a mindset of learning that, okay, I'm going into this meeting and people are going to be maybe making suggestions about how to change my idea. And I'm not going to think about it as I have to accept that suggestion right now or I have to make that change immediately, but that this is an opportunity for me to think, to learn, to understand, to consider. And so just put yourself into that mindset of this is not a decision-making moment, that this is a moment to contemplate, to consider, to learn. Then whatever people say is less threatening. That's one thing. Another thing is to just purposely delay making a decision. So take a lot of notes, ask a lot of questions, but purposely tell yourself, I'm not going to make a decision about any of these suggestions today. You know, I'm going to wait till tomorrow or a couple days from now when I've had time to think about them, and then I'm less likely to have these sort of knee-jerk negative reactions to them, and I might be able to actually see how they complement what I'm doing as opposed to, you know, serve as a threat.
Mm. Well, and it seems like, you know, that whole idea of delaying the decision, that's a tactic that sort of works on both sides, you know, for the artist to say, I don't have to decide right now, and for the person working with them to say, just go away and think about this a little bit.
Yeah, it works for both people. I think when people feel like they have, you know, okay, I'm telling you something and you have to do it right now, that's when identity threat becomes a big hurdle. If you can give people time to think about the idea separate from who they are, they're more likely to see its merits.
Mm. Well, so we've talked a little bit about some of the mistakes people make sort of as we go along, but just to really make it clear and concrete, what are some of the common mistakes people make when you just have a different mindset and you're trying to work with someone who's falls into this category?
Yeah, so I'd say, you know, there's about maybe three or four of these. One is you're giving too specific or concrete an idea, try to be more general, try to give inspiration rather than a specific change. A second is to temper your enthusiasm, to be, you know, a little bit more neutral in your affect. Don't come on like a, you know, a speeding train and say, yeah, this is what we're going to do. Delay decision-making for everyone. Say, you know, this is just a conversation. We're not making any decisions today. I just want to, let's think about some things. Let's explore some things. And then finally, a mistake is to not show respect and like-mindedness with the artist. And really doing that means taking the time to understand what their perspective is, why they have gone down the path they have, and showing them that, yeah, I get what you're doing, and that's why this suggestion I'm making might actually work for you, because I understand you.
And have you seen, you know, an example in a company or a situation where you've really seen someone sort of work on this and turn it around?
Yeah, it doesn't happen very often. There, part of the problems is that if you have a bad experience with these artists, then they're even more hesitant to work with you in the future. But I have seen some managers who are very attuned to these folks do a good job of starting out meetings in a very low affect, neutral tone, you know, setting out the ground rules that, look, we're just going to have a discussion here, that we're not going to make any decisions, and then presenting feedback or suggestions in very general ways. I've seen that work really well, and you have to be patient. And you also have to take some time to construct the team meetings. So if you know you're bringing in somebody who comes on like gangbusters and can't control their enthusiasm, maybe you don't want to have that person in the meeting.
Mm.
Maybe you want to meet with them separately and then sort of translate their ideas for the artist. This is especially important if the artist is the project lead or the person who's driving the idea. If they're just another member of the team, it's not as big a deal. But if they are the project lead, then managing who's in the room in these meetings can also be important.
Right. And I just want to clarify, because you do a very good job of clarifying this in the article, and I just want to make sure that our listeners know, we're not saying that all people in creative fields are hard to work with.
No.
This is about two different mindsets and how they can get along.
That's right. It's about, you know, really getting the most out of the talent that you have and understanding also why sometimes people might resist your ideas. Sometimes you think, I had this great idea, but, you know, my colleague was resistant to it, and I don't understand why. And it can be, you know, related to their identity. It's not they're a bad person, and it's not that they don't have value to the organization. In fact, just the opposite. These artists often have some of the most creative, most innovative ideas in the organization, and it's important to try to keep them engaged. But understanding their identity and where they're coming from can make working with them more productive.
Exactly. Well, Kim, this has been really illuminating, and I really appreciate you taking the time to talk with us a little bit today about it.
No problem. Happy to do it.
That was Kimberly D. Elsbach, co-author with Brooke Brown Saraceno and Francis J. Flynn of the new HBR article, Collaborating with Creative Peers. For that article and more, visit hbr.org.